Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Elizabeth, you talked about pastors trying to take other pastors' members, and I refer to that as sheep stealing. What do you have in mind when you're talking about this stuff?
Well, actually, I have had a sad experience watching pastors being territorial. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was sad for me because we were planning an evangelistic series in a large city. Mm-hmm. And we got all together, very excited to tell the local pastors about it. We were looking for a venue, you know, to
yeah. So a lot of pastors were supposed to be joining in on this and
yes.
pooling their resources to make this happen.
And all of a sudden, this personal agendas came out. Like, well, that venue is too close to that church. So people that get converted are going to go to his church and then they're going to come to my church. And I
so it wasn't so much about being excited about creating Christians and true believers of Jesus Christ. Is which church are they going to go to?
Yes,
right?
It was this jealousy and I realize that all of us are human, and sometimes we have our personal agenda above God's kingdom agenda, and that mm-hmm. happens to many of us in many circumstances. But when it has to do with the preaching of the gospel, don't you think we should all be just, you know, leaping with joy when somebody becomes a convert?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, although in our teaser I called that sheep stealing, I also told my fellow pastors from the area churches, I said, hey, listen, if I've got a member that you think you want and you can get them, go for it. I said, it's hard to steal well-fed sheep, but still, you know, go for it. If they would be happier at your church, then I'm happy to have them there. That's quite all right. In fact, I even sent a list of inactive members to my area pastors. I said, hey, I haven't been able to get these people to church. You try. If they can go to your church, that'd be great. Because for me, it's about getting people in the kingdom.
I actually had the happy experience to see pastors exactly do that.
Right.
Work together to bring people to the kingdom. You know, one of the things I love about our team at Voice of Prophecy is that we're united with a goal. And I remember our director, Fred Kinsey, when he said in one of our public meetings, it's incredible what you can accomplish when you don't care who gets the credit.
That's right.
You know, because we are all here to give God honor and glory. And in this story that we're going to see today, some people start getting jealous that the crowds are following Paul, and they just can't handle the fact that he has success, and they stop the growth of the kingdom because of that, and then Paul turns to the Gentiles for good, you know?
Well, let's take a look at our passage today. We are studying through the book of Acts, and let's look at chapter 13 today. Chapter 13.
We start in chapter 13 in the church of Antioch. The church of Antioch is the first church that shows a real interest in Gentiles outside the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And actually,
basically a Gentile is anyone who isn't a Jew.
Correct. Anybody that in some ways was an outcast to the Jews. Mm-hmm. And it is in this church that the book of Acts tells us that it was the first time that Christians were called Christians.
Yeah. It was meant as a term of derision. All you can talk about is this guy Christ, and you're followers of Christ, you're Christians. And they said, you know, that's a pretty good name for us. We are Christians. We're
that's
Christians.
Right, because see, people that followed Herod were called Herodians, and people that followed Christ started, you belong to Christ, so you're a Christian.
Yeah.
And it says this on chapter 11 of the book of Acts, verse 26. When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So,
yeah.
This church of Antioch in chapter 13 will send Paul on a missionary journey because they have this desire to go outside the boundaries.
You know, it is nice when you see a church that is so interested in the kingdom issues that they're not as focused on what is happening in their local area. They're willing to put resources into a missionary endeavor that affects not their local area, but maybe some other area across the world. And that's what they were willing to do with the Apostle Paul. They said, we want this gospel of the kingdom to be spread to all the world, not just here, but through all the world. And so they put their resources there.
And so they will send Paul out, and he starts from Antioch in a province called Cappadocia. And if you follow him, he will go to the island of Cyprus, then he will go to Perga. And then he comes to another city, also called Antioch. And now we are in verse 14 of chapter 13. And he goes on the Sabbath day to the synagogue because he hasn't turned to the Gentiles yet. And they go to the Jews, and they're going to preach Jesus to the Jews.
And verse 14 says, but going on from Perga, they arrived in Pisidian, Antioch, and on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials sent to them, saying, brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it. Paul stood up and motioning with his hand and said, and then he starts into this sermon.
It's a beautiful sermon that starts from the beginning of the history of redemption. It goes all through David and
which is the same pattern we've seen him and others use. Peter used the same pattern, especially when speaking to the Jews, reminding them of the history of the Jews and God's interaction with people throughout the beginning of time.
Yes, this is what Jesus actually taught them.
Luke 24.
All the law, the prophets, and the Psalms were about Jesus, mm-hmm. and that they should always preach in that setting. So,
which is exactly what they're doing here. They're taking and showing from the Old Testament how all of it testifies of Jesus Christ.
So he ends up telling them about Jesus. Now, don't forget, this is a synagogue, right?
Right.
So he says on verse 23, from the descendants of this man, David, he was talking about, mm-hmm. according to promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, and then he preaches Jesus to them. And actually, he has a great result. At the end of that section in verse 43, says that the synagogue was accepting Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to read it, Mike? Do you have it?
Yeah, it says, now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. And so they're having a great deal of success here.
People
are accepting the gospel.
In the previous verse, verse 42 says that they asked them to please come back the next Sabbath and keep mm-hmm. talking about this Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get this moment of territorialism that we talked about in verse 44. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled. Can you believe it?
Oh, yeah.
It's a beautiful evangelistic series,
mm-hmm.
right?
Everyone comes out.
Yes, everybody comes out to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy.
And began contradicting the things spoken by Paul as they were blaspheming. You know, it's interesting here that they've used the word the Jews saw the crowds. Remember, they started preaching in the synagogue and a lot of the Jews became believers. When it's using the term Jews here, it's speaking of just the leaders. It is the leaders, the shepherds of the flock, so to speak, who became jealous. And so that's what the term Jew is referring to here, not just the entire race, but those leaders.
Correct. And this is the moment that the breakthrough happens. Paul says to them, we came and preached the gospel to you, but now, verse 46 at the end, we are turning to the Gentiles. And this mm-hmm. is the moment where the breakthrough happens. God's agenda is so much larger than their agenda.
Right.
We are going to break through some boundaries here, says Paul. And he quotes one of my favorite chapters in all of the Old Testament, is Isaiah 42. Remember the servant songs, Mike,
mm-hmm.
when we talked about?
Mm-hmm.
There are four servant songs in the prophet Isaiah. There are chapters 42, 49, 50, and 53. And they talk about who Jesus would be and how he would minister. And Paul quotes from chapter 42 here.
In verse 47, it says, for so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. Now, he's quoting here from Isaiah 42,
verse 6
mm-hmm. is what he's quoting from.
Yes.
But, you know, some of this is so beautiful. Verse 3, backing up just a little bit, it says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish.
This is one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament. When God so tenderly speaks of those that were outcast. And I'm sure that many of you have felt in the past as a bruised reed, as a smoldering wick, like your fire has gone out and you're just barely there.
Yeah, the bruised reed is, you know, a reed that has been broken over and is just barely hanging on by a thread, about to fall apart.
Yeah.
He wouldn't injure that bruised reed. He's not going to break it. He's going to take care of you. And if you're that bruised reed, you're just hanging on by the last thread,
mm-hmm.
By your very fingernails. Mm. God is not there to just pry the fingers loose
Absolutely.
And let you fall. He is there to heal you. That's what Jesus came
yes,
for.
Yes, and so chapter 42 of Isaiah verse 6 says, he is going to be a light to everyone, to all mm-hmm. the Gentiles, to all the nations, to all the outcasts, to all the bruised reeds out there, to all the smoldering wicks. You know?
Remember, we've been talking about the inclusivity of the gospel, the inclusivity of Jesus Christ and his message. It runs across genders and races and everything else. But, you know, it's also here saying that it is for those who are broken as well as those who feel like they're they've got it together. They're well. They've got their things going in the right direction. It's for everyone, even those of you who feel like you're too bad to be accepted by Christ.
And this is exactly the response that the people get when Paul turns to the Gentiles. Going back to the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, that Paul was now preaching the gospel to them, the outcasts, the Bruce Reeds, the smoldering wicks, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of God, because finally, it was for them. It wasn't just for the good ones, for the ones that fit in. It was, you know, if you have been a victim of somebody's agenda and they told you you didn't qualify, today we want to tell you that God's agenda includes you.
It does. And your response is going to be the same as that which we've seen throughout the book of Acts. When people hear the gospel, when they understand that it is for them, that it means that you are included and you are loved and you are accepted and you are forgiven, your response has got to be that of joy. That's what happened to the Gentiles here. It's what happened to the Jews when they received Jesus Christ. It's what happens to all of us. When you know that you are accepted, then you are somebody in God's eyes, that He has a plan for you and a purpose for your life, that He wants you to spend eternity with Him. The only response to that is absolute cheer, unadulterated joy.
And if you have been marginalized by religious people saying you don't qualify, that was their agenda. That wasn't God's agenda. God's agenda includes everyone, absolutely everyone.
God says He has one requirement for you to enter into the kingdom, and that is that you recognize that you need Him. And when you recognize that, regardless of your past, He will accept you.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.
Woohoo!